Let us pray. O Lord, may the meditations in all of our hearts and the words from my lips be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The sermon for today is based on the Old Testament reading from Isaiah chapter 6. As I began to work on this sermon, I soon realized that I had made a mistake. And that is, I glossed over the first half of verse 1, which reads, "In the year that King Uzziah died." This is important because Uzziah, we know, was at first a great king. Unfortunately, however, because of the greatness that God had given him, he became prideful. And as a result, he was stricken with leprosy only to die a leper's death, while being excluded from the house of the Lord. The Old Testament leper was unclean in the eyes of God, and therefore had to be separated from anything considered holy. In many ways, the nation of Israel was just like King Uzziah. She was a dying nation at this point in the biblical narrative, unclean and separated from God because of her sins. She had no part in the holiness of God. Uzziah was only another dead king in Israel's record books, and the nation was not far behind him. It is in this context of a dead king, and really in so many ways a dead nation, that Isaiah has this vision where he sees the one true king, the Lord of lords, the God of gods, the Lord of hosts, sitting upon his throne. The train of his robe fills the temple. His attendants, the seraphim, cover their eyes so as to not see the sheer magnitude of his glory and holiness. Even the foundations shake at the presence of Yahweh and at the voice of the one calling, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Seeing God is a problem for Isaiah. It's a problem because of these three words, holy, holy, holy. And not just for Isaiah. God's holiness is a problem for any sinner. Why? Because, friends, holiness and sin do not mix. It's a frightful thing for the sinner, the flesh corrupted with sin and iniquity from birth, to stand before the perfect and holy God. He is a consuming fire. That's how the writer of Hebrews describes our Lord. He is a consuming fire, and the sinner cannot stand and survive the awesome fiery presence of the Holy Lord, our Almighty God. It's too much for sinful man. Isaiah knows this, and yet here he is gazing at the Lord. Stricken in his conscience, Isaiah responds in the only way the sinner can. "Woe to me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Isaiah can only repent of his sins. Notice, he doesn't try to defend his actions. He doesn't go into a lengthy defense of the unclean things he had said. He doesn't deny his sin, but he confesses it. He knows he is a lost and condemned creature to be pardoned only out of God's grace and God's mercy. Again, sin and holiness do not mix. There is a chasm, friends, between the holiness of God and the wretched sinfulness of man that we cannot fathom. God's holiness compared to our sinfulness, it is beyond human comprehension. This is what Isaiah is up against as he stands before the Holy of Holies. The nation of Israel had lost sight of all of this. By this point, they are content worshiping other gods. They show little use for God's forgiveness. They have forgotten the one true God who had led them out of the house of slavery, that is Egypt. And they show no signs of being afraid of God's holiness. Otherwise, they would have responded like Nineveh at the preaching of Jonah. They would have repented of their sins and then received God's forgiveness and the holiness that only He can give. Friends, Isaiah's reaction to God's holiness should be our reaction. God is still holy, and He still commands His people to have holiness, a holiness that is pleasing even to Him. But your sins make you unclean. That's a real problem. The notion of us standing with our sins before the holy and righteous God should cause us to react just like Isaiah does, and that is cowering in fear and in repentance. And so that leads us to the question, how do we have holiness that even God is pleased with? That is a question, friends, that everyone in here should be able to answer. Where does your holiness come from? The devil would be so wise to tell you, it comes from yourself. Sure. You want to be holy? Act holy. Do the right things and you'll be in great shape. As tantalizing as that may sound, that I can do it on my own. Friends, don't buy into the lie. Isaiah didn't. As great as a prophet as Isaiah was, even he knew that he was unworthy to stand before the holy and the living God. Not only was he dwelling in the midst of unclean people, Isaiah goes so far as to say even his speech is unclean. Even his words are unclean. Now pause for a moment and ask yourself the question in light of what Isaiah says. Is your speech unclean? We don't know exactly what Isaiah said to convict him of his sin, but we do know whatever he said, it was not pleasing to the Lord. We are no different. Whenever you say something that is contrary to God's word and displeasing to God, it is very much unclean speech. It is unclean speech, and therefore it pollutes and it defiles the body. This only illuminates what our Lord Jesus says in Matthew 12, verse 36. Here our Lord Jesus says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. Every careless word that comes out of your mouth, whether it be towards God or towards your neighbor, God hears it. He measures it. It is taken into account. Not one word slips away from His notice. When you slam your neighbor behind his or her back, it's unclean speech. When you spread a secret piece of information, where outwardly you're trying to play it off as if other people need to hear this, but inwardly you only want to elevate yourself above your neighbor, unclean speech. Lashing out in anger towards your loved ones instead of speaking in peace and with compassion. Unclean speech, friends. Shooting off that vile, quick email in anger or a text message at your parents or your children. Unclean speech. Spreading false doctrine. Putting words in God's mouth that He didn't say. Unclean speech. We have heard this before, all of us. What I just said is nothing new. We've heard it. But as sinners, we forget, don't we? Or even worse, we ignore it and don't care about betraying, slandering, or hurting the reputation of our neighbor. Unclean speech, friends, it is a big deal. Words hurt. It is such a big deal that Isaiah, as he is standing before the Holy of Holies, that is one of the things he confesses. Woe to me, for I am a man of unclean lips. That's his confession. And it should be our confession on a daily basis. Furthermore, if our Lord takes our speech into consideration, friends, then He certainly measures and knows of our deeds. Not only do we speak unclean things, but we're guilty of doing unclean things to our neighbor. before God. We do things to our bodies that Holy Scripture declares are sins, and all of it is unclean. All of it pollutes, defiles, and goes against, friends, the very holiness that God commands us to have. Be holy, because I am holy. That is the word of the Lord. Now, by this point in the sermon, I hope we all realize that to be holy enough to stand before the Almighty God and please Him with our holiness is impossible for mankind to do on his own. Not even the great prophet Isaiah could stand before the holy Lord of heaven and earth and claim to be right in his sight. Rather, he cowers in fearful repentance. Friends, true godly holiness, the holiness that is pleasing to God, cannot come from the sinful flesh of man. Man cannot generate holiness that appeases even the wrath of the Almighty God. Hear this point. The only holiness that enables a person to stand before God as one worthy is the holiness that comes from God Himself. To live in eternity with God means you need a holiness that only God Himself can give you. Thankfully, here's the good news. He does give it. He gives it. Upon Isaiah's confession, we see him declared holy by God. The burning coal from the altar touches his lips, and after that divine act, we hear God's words of absolution. We hear, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for." In other words, Isaiah, your sin is covered. Isaiah, your sin has been taken away. You will live forever. By his faith, and God's mercy, word, and promises, Isaiah is declared to be holy, righteous, and atoned for in the sight of God. Friends, that promise, the promise to Isaiah, is your promise today. Now you say, "But Pastor, get real. I am still unclean." Pastor, you say, "I'm holy by faith in the Lord, but you don't realize the sins I wrestle with." If you saw me drive in rush hour traffic, you wouldn't think I was so holy. I'm with you. Sure, if holiness was something that we had to earn or come up with our own, we'd all be in serious trouble. But friends, living in Christ, living by faith in your Lord Jesus, is a very different matter. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for. You are holy by faith in Jesus. Every unclean thing you've ever said, every unclean thing you have ever done, all of your sin, all of your iniquity is atoned for. That is to say, covered by the blood of Jesus. Your Savior has done the work to make you His holy child. The altar in the Old Testament, that was where animal sacrifices were brought before God for the sins of the people. Today, that altar is the cross of Calvary. And the sacrifice, it is not the blood of bulls and goats, but the sacrifice is the Son of God, who gave His life to be a one-time sacrifice for the sins of the entire world. On the altar of Calvary's cross, that is where the sinless one becomes the sinner. That is where your Savior takes all of your sins upon His body. And it is on the altar of Calvary's cross where we see Jesus willingly now, willingly take God's fiery wrath upon Himself to pay for the sins of the entire world. Your sins, my sins, past, present, and future. All of them, friends, are paid for by the blood of Jesus on the altar that is the cross. Furthermore, even your guilt, the text says, is taken away. Isaiah's guilt is taken away. Your guilt even is taken away by your Savior Jesus. Are you feeling guilty about your past. Ashamed of the sins that you have committed previously. Don't be. Do not be ashamed. Friends, do not feel guilty because your holy Lord God and Heavenly Father declares unto you by His infallible, immovable word that by faith in Jesus Christ, your sins, even your guilt, is taken away. None of it belongs to you. It has been taken up and paid for on the cross by your Savior, Jesus Christ. This means that you are pure. In Christ, it means that you are holy, without spot, without blemish. In Christ, you have His holiness, friends. You have His righteousness, and therefore, you are able to stand before your Lord God and Heavenly Father. When you feel guilty about your sin, when you are feeling the pain of your sin, remember your Savior Jesus. Have the peace of God to know your sins have been taken away. Your guilt has been put away. You are forgiven, His holy child, and therefore an heir to His everlasting kingdom. To conclude, all of these gifts, all of these promises of God, His holiness, His righteousness, His forgiveness, it is not a gift we work for, or a gift that we could earn by striving the best we can. No. The promise of His righteousness, forgiveness, and holiness, yours in Jesus Christ, friends, that is yours by the gift of faith that God richly and abundantly supplies. As you walk in this unclean world, as you no doubt continue to deal with and wrestle with your unclean sins, remember the Savior that you have. Your Savior, Jesus Christ, who continues to purify and cleanse you. In Him, you are very much holy, a holy child of God. And in Christ, you can live this life with the bold expectation that upon your death, you will live. You will live forever, united with all the saints, forever singing the praise, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." Amen.